This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, yes, it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. The whole gang's all back tonight, too. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, I see him there. People
back
watching.
In Seattle.
Yep. Yes, it's 105 degrees in where Johnny's at, but you would not know with him wearing his the hat that he has on. For those of you watching on the Facebook, the X feed, the YouTube feed, you're like, wait, it's 100 and what? And he's wearing a knit cap.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't have much up top there, and it's a little chilly with the AC cranked because I'm over here by one of the vents and I'm indoors, and I rarely have to run it. Most of the year you can get away with just opening the windows at night here. But I was out of town for a while, as you know, wasn't on the show with you, Tim.
And yeah, we know.
We missed
with some
you.
Exciting and fun live on location stuff.
Yes.
That we'll talk a little bit about tonight in the recap of the week. But yeah, man, it's a little chilly with the AC cranking to cool this place down after having it closed up.
I was gonna say, do you want to reveal that the setting you're at right now, or you want to just tell people it's really low? Your AC setting.
Oh, I got. I mean, it's been gone for a week. I got that thing at 52. I mean, for at least a few hours to cool off. To cool off the place, man. Otherwise, it'll shut off. I usually keep it much higher, but
if you see Johnny, if you guys, anybody watching the stream, and yes, that's Johnny's breath coming out, man. Hey, you know what though, Johnny Lupinacci, best.
I just turned it way down and let it crank for a little bit.
Man. Let it go. Yeah. Bring it down to where it feels nice and comfortable, so you can get some good sleep in your own bed.
Right.
Johnny, you know, one of the great things I said, I was in Madison. Jess and I got to meet for the first time, too. First time
amazing.
For everything. Awesome. And you know what we did? We went to the Minocqua Brewing Company's tap room in Madison.
We
you
sure
know
did.
Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end that awful voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And yes, Johnny Lupinacci, it was Tim, Jess, and producer Aaron was there too with us again.
Hey, Ron Stromers.
We went across the board, three dark Brandons.
Yeah.
They had dark Brandons still. They didn't have Hope.
He didn't change it over to Hope yet in the tap room. So,
out on the resale and on the online. Also, I saw, Tim, for you, man, that they're doing a lime sparkling water.
Nice. I know.
Was that there when you were there?
I don't know. I think I did see that in the fridge, but it was one of those things where I'm like, okay, this is going to be a night where I'm going to allow myself to just slowly enjoy a beer beer.
And that Brandon was delicious.
Jess loved it.
No, I order it. It gets delivered to me in Washington.
Oh my goodness.
My favorite Minocqua brew. I get it. I love it. I actually haven't had a dark brew locally that compares. And so I order it and, you know, Kirk and Company ships it out here and I get my dark Brandon, which now will be Hope Brew when I get it. And I'm excited because Jess and Tim, I've been, you know, even though I've been off grid, I've been following.
Okay.
I'm excited about the energy that's still rolling. Let's go. Let's keep it rolling. So we got.
The camergy.
I love that.
It's that you've got all that going. Okay, just got to remind people though too, and boy, because we did this at the Wisconsin Public Education Network, Johnny, reminding people, they're like, where do we listen? We're like, hey, you know what, if depending on what city you're in, there's a terrestrial radio station, here are the call numbers, but the easiest thing, download that Civic Media app. I don't know, Jess, we showed people, we took their phones for them and helped them hit that app store.
We helped a couple people download the app. And, you know, you're always going to get fantastic sound quality, and it is the easiest way to participate in the show.
Absolutely. And people were so thankful. So if you're out there going, I should download the Civic Media app. Is that what you're saying, Tim, Justin, Johnny? Yes, that's what 100%. We're saying. Got to remind, too, because if you're ever in Finland, like our listeners in Finland, you can listen when you're in Finland, Antarctica, Jamaica, wherever it is that you want to go. Johnny Lupinacci.
You
so
might
it is
be in
teach.
France at Paris Olympics.
You might be at the France in the Paris Olympics. Hopefully you're not swimming in the Seine river.
Why?
Well, it's got a little too much, you know, cookie yucky in it right now.
I don't know. They were swimming in it today. I watched.
Oh, anyways, there was one. I guess I saw one of the videos of one of the swimmers that I guess wasn't supposed to leak out, where he kind of got out and was losing his lunch.
Oh,
oop. Now, wow. Maybe the lunch losing was not related to potentially sucking in. Okay. But I don't know. I watched the whole special, though, about a week before the Olympics, and it was touch or go on whether or not they were going to actually swim in that river, because every day or even 3 to 4 different times throughout the day, it would come back as ready to swim. And then a couple hours later, it would come back you don't want to get in there right now.
That's fine. Let them go. Let them rip. It's triathlon. I think I saw today that they were in the water. And if there's any athletes that can handle a little bit of a rough condition, it's probably the triathlon.
Triathletes, exactly.
But man, it's been fun to watch Olympics, too. It's been lots of good energy. And there's also a lot of difficult stuff still going on in the world. So it's great to be reconnecting with you two and recapping the week and checking in on our listeners, seeing where we go from here. But you know what? TGIBPF brings with it, Tim.
Yes, yes.
I've come to really look forward to every Friday, because I don't just learn something new. I get to bring with me some Tim's trivia into the week.
Yes, we go. Well, do what you say. Do like we did last week. A little bit of hint to this one. Maybe not as complex, but it's probably, hopefully, going to be for a lot of people going, I did not know that, and that's this type of Tim's trivia this week. I will start with saying it again. We're always doing American history. Just putting that out there. You know, some of the things that you think you learned when you were in those 5th grade, 2nd grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, sometime in high school years, maybe even in college. If you went to college, you know, they asked you to remember a lot of stuff. This is going to be one of those, Johnny. So we're dealing with one of the most important cities in America at the founding, dealing with the 13 original colonies.
Oh,
wow. The 13 original colonies. What was the most important city at that time?
Seems subjective.
Yeah. No. I was just about to say, based on, I hope we hear criteria.
Oh, there's a criteria here. When I'm hinting, okay. most important, there's also a designation with that. But as you think back to colonial American history, 13 original colonies, what city had the most prominent feature named for at that time? What's the name of the city, and what colony, which would go on to be a state, obviously, the 13 original colonies. So city and colony, state, most important in and during the colonial, through the revolution in those years, though.
You just let it rip. But I should probably give callers a chance to do this before I this seems like a no-brainer to me.
I think so, too. I think it's a no-brainer, but I have a feeling that a lot of people, and this is why we do want you to call Jess to the number if you could put it up for me, because, of course, Johnny, my ability to remember, 855-752-4842 is the number. 855-752-4842. Yeah, city and colony, state, most important colonial American.
Colony became a state.
It was colony that became a state at the time. But, you know, this is right in that 1776 in through the 17.
My overconfidence is gonna serve me a dish of humility, I feel like, on this one. So, I mean, I put my answer into the text chat to you, Tim. You don't have to say whether it's right or not. Let's give callers a chance to text in or call in, because this is a fun one. This is a good one, Tim, because it might not be the obvious that I put in there. We got Jim from Appleton, who says Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. Ooh,
look at that.
That's different than I put, but I just went on my gut like right away. Boom, let me land it. We'll see. But we got one from Jim from Appleton. Tim, what do you think?
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna hold on this one. Give people a couple, you know, attempts to come at that. Not gonna reveal yours though, Johnny Lupinacci. You know, you've got one up there. Good, makes sense. There's a whole lot of logic behind your city that you picked. I think a lot of people may lean that way, Jim. Interesting thinking about that, you know, remembering back Philadelphia, what was going on, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And no, again, for Johnny's first guess, it was not Detroit, because Detroit was not part of any of the
most important city. So we
I know that's why I say it's most important city. 855-752-4842.
Oh, yeah. Tell our
just let me know. 855-752-4842 is the number. Jim for Appleton, hold tight. We're going to give a few more, you know, a little more time to let a few more people call in. It doesn't mean, though, that if you're possibly right, you won't be given credit as being the absolute first one. However, if somebody, jump in, let us know. Most important, Jim from Appleton, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Johnny Lupinacci, a logic guess, thinking about the colonial American history and prominent important cities during that time. Definitely a logic guess there, and no one's going to, you know, take anything away from that. But that's Tim's trivia. Johnny, we said,
I don't know what it is. It's out there, folks. Let's go.
But back, you know, a week in Wisconsin, which was great. Live from the State Street studio, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah. Jess on the boards in the Madison studio, Monday, Tuesday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And Jess, how about Tuesday's show? Johnny, you know what time we were ready to go, though? one second before the show started.
That's the best way.
Yeah, we were ready at 6:06 p.m.
Well, I had to download the show because I was out of, you know, I was in rural Montana, the north part up there, almost on the Canadian border. And I'd take a trek in every once in a while to satellite Wi-Fi and download stuff. And I downloaded the show both nights later and got to listen. So got to hear you guys. You wouldn't know. The energy was electric. So great stuff. We'll recap it because I want to ask a few questions from both your experiences with the WPEN at their conference. When we get back, folks, stay with us because it's going to be awesome. We're going to continue to recap the week and hear more from Tim and Jess about the conference earlier this week. Stay with us.
Yes, 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 yes. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. You're right, Jess. We're going to love that one. Jess putting up some new bumper. New bumper music for Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. It's TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils. Friday, Tim's Trivia is out there. Important colonial American city. The most important colonial American city at the time, city and state, and L.A. Tom on the line right away talking about the appearance of 45. L.A. Tom.
We'd get into this tonight. I figured we would.
All right, L.A. Tom, talk to us, man.
First off, I want to say that I love Johnny's beanie he's got on there, the pink beanie. I love it. It's awesome.
Thank you, my man.
I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of knowledge that maybe you missed. And since this is the Schoolhouse Rock, I'm going to call it Busted Pencils.
Yes, sir.
First off, people don't realize that in that interview the other day with Donald Trump, that he was acting like a 10-year-old or younger or 12, but he would not go on stage unless, because they were going to fact check everything he said. And mm-hmm. he was not going to go on stage because of that reason. That right there should disqualify him from being a candidate for the president of the United States. So what he did is they were going to come out and say, okay, Donald Trump is not going to let us fact check him, so this is over. That's why he decided to come in, because he didn't want to make even a more of a fool of himself. And what he did is he was blaming it on them for being late, which can sometimes be a racist type of thing, and their and their equipment not working and all of that stuff. The truth was, he did not go on that stage right away because he did not want to be fact-checked in real time. And I think it's very important for the American people to know that.
L.A. Tom, so on that one, I wondered about that because, yeah, he was really making a big deal about the fact that, well, you bring me here and don't bring me out for in late, I think he kept saying like 30, 35 minutes, you make me wait. And L.A. Tom is saying that it wasn't that he was having to wait. There was a, I guess, maybe a little scuffle about the fact check, because I do remember the, and I can't remember the host who introduced it, but they actually did announce by coming on and saying, you know, there will be live fact checking as we go. Jess, you saw that too?
Yes. Okay. And I have an Axios article that I will link into the podcast on this, but that is, as far as I can tell, exactly what happened. It wasn't that the audio problems were a big issue. There's a statement that says that there were some audio problems, but they were resolved really quickly. The bigger issue why it was so delayed is because Trump was refusing to go on with the live fact checking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, typically whenever I give a public speech, I always check to make sure there are no fact checkers around because, you know, how ridiculous is that?
Sarcasm. LA sarcasm again. It doesn't quite slap with Johnny ever. It never lands with Johnny. I mean, I miss the sarcasm all the time. But I hear, rumor says, like just out on the streets, where it is, it doesn't quite hit on radio the same way it does in person. So Tim actually does believe facts are important. And I would say most of us who speak publicly, certainly not as much as someone running for president, but, you know, in a leadership role or in some kind of authority, we speak on the things we know about and we're honest about what we don't know about. And we share facts to the best of our knowledge. It doesn't mean we're always right. Sometimes we have to go back because we learn that we were wrong, because occasionally you get fact checked. That's part of the system. It says, hold on, I don't think you got that right. Right. Mm-hmm. And you got to be able to make sure you can, you know, walk it back or correct it if you know, or use the best information you have. And what, you know, L.A. Tom reminds us is this is a guy who cares nothing about those facts and cares nothing about telling the truth. We know that it's a compulsive liar. And it's okay to say, it's not even calling names here or anything. I'm going off of facts. And that is actually one of the most important parts of not only being a public speaker or a part of media, but especially in a role of leadership in government. Right. We talk about it on here all the time, core democratic values. And in fact, last week's 20 lessons from the 20th century was to, you know, not just go all in on something, like to stand up for things, to not just surrender early. And this is a great example of that, right? When the organization said, no, actually, you're going to have to be fact checked, you know, and there's a little bit of a tantruming about that. We have to dig in and say, like L.A. Tom says, this is important to point out. Because the American public, no matter where they plan to vote or how they plan to vote, they need to know that the person that they're voting for is willing to work from facts and truths. Otherwise, you have a government that lies to you, and that's not a democracy. That is in no way a democracy by Republican Party definition or Democratic Party definition. That's just terrible leadership. And so
horrible, we need to horrible. Know those.
The Washington Post put out a full analysis of the lies, the blatant lies that Trump told at the NACG. I can talk. Seriously.
You got it. You got it.
And they awarded him 4 full Pinocchios for that appearance.
Well, I mean, now I was going to say, if you listen to that, I'm almost wondering if anything he did say had any, it's almost like we should be doing a truth check there, because that might be more interesting to find out as you know, whether he actually said anything truthful in that, because it was just, you know, horrible. And I'm going to say, and the word that's sticking with him, I can't use it. He is weird, man. I love that. He's a total weird dude. I mean, the hands are moving, the story, the nonstop.
Nothing wrong with being weird, though. I'll just put that out there. I like, you know, I give fair where, like, give credit where credit's due. You could be a little weird. You could be a little different. That's okay. We like that here. Remember, part of diversity is that's the difference. I'm okay with that. You could be a little weird, but please don't be hateful. Please don't be intentionally dishonest. You know, please don't represent values that go against democracy or human rights. We could disagree on things, but those are things we can't have in our leaders.
I wonder, Johnny.
Weird, man, because talking to a couple of weird people.
I know you're talking to a couple of people weird, but you're making
me weird in the right way.
We're weird in the right way. And in fact, I want to say, making me think though about this one as you're saying that is that. The way you were very truthful about the analysis of Donald Trump there and saying, you know, in fact, he's very dishonest and all those things. The categorization that has come up over, you know, the past week of this weird. In fact, if you say, what is the contextual definition of weird being used to describe Donald Trump, the Republican Party at this point in time, J.D. Vance would be is that weird is kind of substituting for not truthful, far-fetched, fantastical, ridiculous, insulting, racist. And so weird is kind of starting to encompass that. That's the way I'm starting
for
to
you,
understand.
And I hope that's not the colloquial use of a good
adjective.
No,
it's not. It's not. It's not like that. But I think that's it. I don't know. Call us back, though, and see. You know, if you're weird, we want to hear from you. Let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do. Encourage those teenage anarchists. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. TGIBPF, thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. The whole team is back. Johnny Lupinacci, Jess on the boards. Tim, where he's typically out behind the microphone in his home studio. It is TGIBPF, and it's Tim's Trivia. I'm going to give one more opportunity for people to answer. Tom from New Berlin, we see your answer in there. Boston, Massachusetts. Jim from Appleton, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Johnny Lupinacci, I'm not going to reveal his yet. We're going to keep that secret. You know, you can see that out there. But the most important city in colonial American history during the American Revolution, it got that distinction, a very unique distinction. When I say most important, not a subjective call there on that. It was actually something we can say about this city. And then I think it's going to be one of those ones where people are going to say, huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get a dish of humble pie on this one because I'm confident.
I don't think you have to worry that it's not a humble type of thing. I think it's one of those, you know, you gotta just, you know, whoa, who knew that? Because there are all kinds of little like those kind of like facts, like did you know? Yeah, did you know?
Right.
Fact. Hey, Johnny, you were talking about, you know, what Jess and I did last week at the Wisconsin Public Education Network and what we did
earlier this week. Yeah,
this week. That's right. I mean, it feels like because of the airplane. We went to, you know, so Wisconsin Public Education Network, their 10-year summit. They've been together for 10 years, bringing together public education advocates, activists, that's teachers, there's parents, there's legislators. They're all there from all over the state of Wisconsin, all on the idea of being there to advocate and to make sure that public education is of the utmost importance and all of those supporters gather together to come and walk away from that with newfound energy to advocate for public education and to have lots of new knowledge. And so they have a session, kind of like an academic conference, where people can pick and go to and hear experts talking about something that is, you know, really happening in the state of Wisconsin. And typically, if it's dealing with public education, it's probably happening in your state too. So I, Johnny, I know I'm going to ask the question you want to know. So what did I do? I went to Wisconsin Public Education Network session on the science of reading.
Shocker.
And yeah. And guess what? It's a disaster in Wisconsin too. The only thing we pointed out is that Wisconsin has a little bit of leeway because of one state legislator who was actually in the session was able to get a little bit of wiggle room in there that teachers have a little bit of more of an option to pick multiple curriculum as long as it's making the, you know, the science of reading splash. Where I pointed out in Ohio, where I'm at, and lots of other states, there is no choice in curriculum. If you're off of the state's curriculum provider, you're in violation. In Wisconsin, they don't have that. But we did find out, Johnny, in Wisconsin, 3Qing is outlawed. So, wow. Johnny, when you're reading that book and you're reading a word about an elephant and there's a big picture of an elephant right there, we are not going to point out that, Johnny, what is that picture of? Because that would be a violation of the science of reading.
Well, Tim, I love this. I love that you're highlighting it, because last week's 20, our lesson of focus from the 20th was, you know, don't obey in advance. Mm. Right? Don't submit to these kinds of authoritative, you know, impositions. Like, you're an expert, you're an educator, you're an expert, you understand what children need to learn to read, and you know that it's different child to child. There are some tools we bring to teaching reading, and one of them they might call it that 3Qing, right? Mm. They might call it that. And of course, it's going to get outlawed in some places. It's going to get banned. But you know what? Good teachers don't obey in advance. And I got to be spending the last couple of weeks with a bunch of teachers, because we're getting ready to go back for the fall, and we're getting that R&R in and out fishing, out golfing, just out talking about, you know, being a math teacher, or being a reading teacher, being an elementary teacher, being a school principal. And you know what they kept saying? The more and more of these curriculums and these strategies that are imposed, they just aren't working. And you know what they're doing? They're doing what they know works and what's best.
Nice.
And so I give a big hats off to teachers that don't obey in advance, you know, and Tim, you and the leaders, the learners, leading learners that were spending time, you know, sharing those stories strengthens that. Reiterate for all those folks out there listening, don't obey in advance. Do what you've been trained to do, and that's be a great teacher. If you need help or information on how to do that best, probably don't turn to your legislators.
Mm-hmm.
Turn to those experts. And we're here, educated educators, not just Tim and Johnny and Jess here, but you know, the guests we bring on and the research, the actual scientific consensus on learning to read, not the marketing branded science of reading. Love that you got to get that support, build that solidarity, Tim. Jess, favorite moment from earlier this week? Whoa. Uh-oh. You know what that means? In the middle of finding out about favorite moments from Tim and Jess,
get back to me about that
conference, the bell rings, and what the bell rings every day to let us know is democracy in action. Every day, right, we have a democracy in action recognition, and it's lined up with core democratic values, right? Today's democracy in action, right, it is without a doubt.
Uh-oh.
Okay, this is where I'm going to go with this one, because this isn't a shocker. Truth, right? And if you know who it, this is an opposite one. It goes to, it doesn't go to, you know, truth doesn't get acknowledged to presidential candidate, hopeful, you know, former 45th president for avoiding truth, but will award that recognition to, you know, the facts that LA Tom shared and that Jess kind of doubled down on, that the organization hosting him required fact checking. Because truth, I said at the beginning, this is something that government and citizens should not lie, right? And it's a core democratic value that we hold and honor the truth, hold value and honor the truth. So that recognition goes to every organization that stands firm about fact checking. And every organization and every, you know, qualification that says you must share truthful information, right? That's important. It's a core democratic value. It's today's democracy in action. You don't have a democracy without valuing the truth and holding that as a standard. That said, back to this.
Yes.
Tim, we heard your reading fun, but Jess, your highlights, your moments from earlier this week, WPEN 10th anniversary and their conference.
Really, really cool moments. I'd say, first off, just the energy that everyone had. Everyone was so ready to get to work, not just to talk about what needs to be get done, but they were making the connections that they needed to make. They were advocating for what they needed, and they were getting things done. The session that really, really stood out to me most was there was a session about a part of the Inflation Reduction Act that gives cash reimbursements to schools for implementing upgrades and infrastructure that are more why can't I talk?
Climate controlled.
And yeah, getting things that are more climate friendly. And it's not, you know, it doesn't give the money up front. Schools still have to front the money and then they get a reimbursement. It's listed under a tax credit, even though schools don't pay taxes, but it's this really, really amazing opportunity that is non-competitive, and these funds are available until 2032. So I got some fantastic information and I made some connections that hopefully we'll be getting some people on Busted Pencils to talk about. But that was really stood out to me.
It's, that person might be the Mandela Barnes who ran for the Senate against crazy Ron Johnson. Maybe, Jess?
Yeah, sure. Just jump through all of the nuance and the teasing.
Oh, no. Teasing, but I bet, though, that's a name that a lot of people are going to come to learn, because this is a person who's going to be truly making lots of waves. But, Jess, yeah, the idea here, so the way you explain it to me is this is, I hate to use this, but this is free money for schools.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
free reimbursement, you know.
Right. Right. I mean, they have to make the upgrades and the changes, but the money is there to do this work. And so and for public schools, always, you know, again, underfunded, defunded public schools like they are, the ability to get some help at, you know, upgrading anything too for the climate control is super, super, super. Okay. Tim's trivia. I will tell you this, give you one more hint. Pennsylvania is the right colony and state. Philadelphia is not the right city. Is not the right city. And this it's going to be, I will tell you that Philadelphia had the honor that this city that I'm talking about had, but it is not Philadelphia. In fact, Philadelphia came after this city. I know. You're like, what in the world is he talking about?
All this Pennsylvania trivia, Tim.
I know. Well, you know, I've thought about that. I'm like, okay. Good.
Well, I mean, you were a social studies teacher in Pennsylvania.
I know.
I love this. Yeah. It's local. Loyalty and soil. Guilty.
And this is one of those ones that does relate to where I was a teacher in Pennsylvania. So there's another hint if anybody wants to look.
We're all off. So it's still out there for the taking. I mean, I'll let it rip now. I went really confidently and early with Boston and Massachusetts colony.
And that makes sense, right? When you say most important city in the colonies at that time, right? Somebody's like, oh, somewhere, it's got to be somewhere in Virginia. It's got to be somewhere in Massachusetts.
My gut instinct was Jamestown, Virginia, but I couldn't give you a solid reason why.
Well, because Jamestown is the first settlement, successful settlement of the 13 original colonies.
I guess that's why.
Yeah, 1607, the Jamestown settlement is established. And from there, now it collapses and then moves inward to Williamsburg, Virginia, which then keeps that movement. But is the without that first Jamestown, that's the first successful colony of the English in the New World. And I got to make those statements too, like that of the English in what they called the New World at that time, because there were other colonies and other things beforehand. Because I can hear somebody going, but Columbus was there in 1492 and you just said 1607. Okay. The first permanent English settlement in what they called the New World at the time. And again, even the New World is a misnomer. I don't know. And Jess, though, for the Wisconsin Public Education Network listener that's out there, you have a suggestion to see about a little rebranding, maybe?
Yeah. Let's just make it WisPen.
WisPen.
Yeah. Flows off the tongue easier. Sounds nice. WisPen.
Instead of saying WPEN, Wisconsin Penn. WisPen.
We can just call it WisPen. I mean, that still means the same thing, Wisconsin Public Education Network. I love it. WisPen. And also to connect the dots for a listener, this is we have the honor of having a WisPen guest monthly.
Yes, we do.
And they're always accompanied by the brilliant Heather Dubois-Bornain. We love having Heather on the show. And we actually, Tim, you and I got to be live with Heather before Madison. Yeah. So, you know, WisPen's a regular with us. So
they are.
You nudge that along. And the WPEN can be WisPen henceforth, declaring it on a Friday here.
Uh-oh. L.A. Tom.
WisPen.
L.A. Tom threw out a little stab. I don't know if I'm going to put it out there right now just yet. We can look at this one, though. He's a little bit cautious on that. L.A. Tom, I'll reveal that. But again, most important city, the city was in the what would become the state of Pennsylvania. We're talking about that. The answer is not Philadelphia. However, Philadelphia would go on to get this title. So what city had this title? And I say most important, that should be lots of great hints going out there. The number is 855-752-4842. You can give us a call. I tell you what, anybody calls, you still have an opportunity to get the answer right. Yeah, more when we get back.
Kissed. Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it. She loves to dance.
I love that. That's what we do. I think we do that all the time. Any way you want it. Yeah. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Like, that doesn't sound like Journey. It's not Journey. It's Rise Against. However, Journey did do it first. Steve Perry was the singer. Tim Mickleworth now singing there. Yes. All right. The question was, Tim's trivia, the most important city in colonial America at the time, got it down into the state of Pennsylvania, the colony of Pennsylvania. Philadelphia was not the answer. Tom from New Berlin loved this. Try to use my knowledge and not the internet. So thank you, teachers. Tom from New Berlin thanking teachers out there. All right. The answer is...
Bum-ba-da-bum.
A little town called York, Pennsylvania. York, Pennsylvania was the capital of the United States for 9 months, from September 30th. 1777 to June 27th, 1778. Therefore, York is given the distinction as the first capital city of the United States of America. It went on to then be Philadelphia. And then, as you know, it didn't stay Philadelphia, moved out into what is not what we call Washington, D.C. But the first... And I didn't grow up in York, but that's where I taught my second teaching career. Teaching fifth grade was in York, Pennsylvania, and it was something they were very proud of, that York, the city of York, was considered the first capital of America. So there you go.
All right.
Learned still,
I'm still slightly skeptical on how first capital means most important, but I see the connection. I see an argument to be made for, you know, for
well, for you, oh, so you know why I did that though.
Well, Jamestown.
You know why I did that, though, is because of what Tom from New Berlin said, though, because if I had said, name the first capital of the United States, sure, that's just too easy of a Google search to get that, you know? Yep. So
I like it. We'll give it to you. It's Tim's Trivia. It's called Tim's Trivia for a reason. And you get to run the show. It's good. We'll accept it. It's a good one. So no winner today, but at least we got the answer. That's twice
we're
now.
We're all winners because we all learned.
That's twice now we didn't have someone get it, I think, right?
Here's a bonus question. What famous candy came out of York, Pennsylvania?
Well, we know that's peppermint patty.
Yo, nice.
Boom, nailed it. Slam dunk. Hey, I got a question for you, though. You know, as we're thinking about this, and it's Friday, shouldn't we get into one of our Friday stalwarts, our regular events every Friday?
I know.
I'll take that as a yes. That's the noise I was looking for. Because every Friday we bring in 20 lessons from the 20th century, right? Built from Timothy Snyder's work, really helping us navigate the rise of authoritarian governments, not only here in the US, but around the world. One of those lessons, and I think it's applicable for this week. I think it's applicable all the time. That's why these are great lessons, but especially for this week. And remember, last week's was do not obey in advance, which we love an example of, you know, all the teachers and folks out there who are saying, you know what, whatever you impose, we're just really not going to do, because we actually were trained to be strong teachers. And we were taught how to teach children how to read and how to get our information from research and apply it in our classrooms. And we're going to do that anyways, regardless of what you tell us. But the fifth lesson that Timothy Snyder shares in his 20 lessons from the 20th century is to remember professional ethics. This is different than when someone says, hey, use your manners. This is remember professional ethics. We talked about truth. We talked about the importance of fact checking. We talked about governments should not lie, nor should the citizens. But remembering professional ethics, whenever a political leader or somebody in the public spotlight sets a negative example, it's our opportunity to hold professional commitments to just practice and to be above that, to be more, to make sure that we hold a standard that it becomes important, right, to hold ethics. Ethics exist beyond the law, beyond lawyers, right? We don't need the government to ensure those ethics. We, the people, and those members of the government ought to be remembering and applying professional ethics, right? One of the things to remember, lessons from the 20th century, is authoritarian governments, historically and contemporarily now, right now, around the world, right, they rely on obedient civil servants. They rely on people interested in cheap labor. They rely on real low speaking of one another and the devaluing of one another and the conflict and the chaos of that. So remember professional ethics. You know, we can muck it up and we can joke about, like, hey, something's weird, or hey, you know, somebody's, you know, despicable or deplorable, or, you know, I propose the adjective malfeasant, right? But also, we got to remember our professional ethics. Doesn't necessarily mean it's always got to be the high ground, but we definitely want to set that standard around truth, right? Around humanity, and around maybe sharing a beer with an aquarium company like Jess and Tim got to do with our guy Aaron and the other good folks in Madison and at Civic Media, right? So Monaco Brewing Company, we're proud that they are a sponsor of Busted Pencils. Check them out at monacobrewingcompany.com to see where you can get their progressive beer.
Nice.
Tim, Jess, what a week. You two did some awesome on the ground work. Loved listening. For listeners who didn't get a chance, download, right, the podcast from this week. Give it a listen. It was awesome stuff. Looking forward to chopping it up with you next week.
Yeah, we are, and tell you, you know, that week too. And just a reminder, yeah, the new Madison superintendent we interviewed. We had a guest from Madison Teachers Incorporated, Bert Zipper. Just great. And Jess, can't wait till we get some of the spot interviews that we're able to get for all of those people that were at the Wisconsin Public Education
Early
Network.
Next week we'll have it.
Early next week. It's York, Pennsylvania was the first capital of America before Philadelphia, and then to Washington, D.C. That's so much there. And I tell you what, guess what? Monday, just a little anticipation. What would Matt Damon's mom say?
Oh, love it.
Yes, it is. Dr. Nancy Carlson Pays will be back in the
it's
house.
It's already
everybody
be
else.
The first Monday of a
I
month.
I know.
Oh,
it's the first Monday of the month. Everybody, though, before we get to that Monday, have a great weekend. Check you later.